Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that explores the people, places, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your co-host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with a new co-host, Paul Hertz. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Ursula.
Paul, you may know, as one of our classical disc jockeys, and in fact, he'll be airing his mix of classical music from 8 until 10 this morning. He does a show every Monday morning after this show. But today, he is joining Local Talk. Local Talk is kind of an open team where a lot of people join us. And this morning, he is a guest host and commentator because this is going to be a show about music.
Well, we'll see how I do today.
This is December, and so what better way to start the month of December with a topic that makes Paul a natural? We are previewing four different concerts that will be held this weekend in the area. There's the Ames Children's Choirs, the Ames High Madrigal Dinner, and the Central Iowa Symphony. And later in the hour, we will be visited by founding director of Good Company Ensemble, Steve Hoyfeldt, who is still directing the women after 21 years.
Well, that makes it five concerts in total. So the Madrigal Dinner is held Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the Central Iowa Symphony is on Saturday, and the Ames Children's Choirs will be performing Sunday afternoon, and the Good Company concert Sunday evening, and we'll have all the dates, times, and places later in the program.
Paul, I understand you're on the board of the Ames Children's Choirs.
Yes, I've been on the board for about a year and a half, and I also used to sing in the choir.
Really? You sang in the Ames Children's Choirs? I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Well, I grew up in Nevada, and in middle school, I was really developing a stronger interest in music, so my mom got me into the Ames Children's Choirs, and I thought it was a very good opportunity to do higher level musical training than maybe the school can provide with a more select choir working rigorously, more intensively on classical literature.
You don't have to be an Ames resident to participate in the Ames Children's Choirs?
No, certainly most are, but there's some from all over Story County, from Boone County, some from Hamilton and Hardin counties, too.
How long did you sing with the choir?
I was in the Ames Children's Choirs from 1997 to 1999, but after that, my voice changed, and I had to stop.
Really? That's interesting. You had to quit because your voice was changing?
Yeah. The Ames Children's Choirs, from the beginning, has been a choir for unchanged voices. That is, all sopranos and altos, boys and girls. And it's possible that in the future it will become a youth choir, including changed voices, but it would be a difficult transition to add the tenors and basses. There is very unique sound that just the unchanged voices provide, and that is a unique experience there.
I guess these are the things you have to think about when you're dealing with young people, making music with young people singing.
Yeah, the sound of the children's choir is very special.
We have a recording from the Ames Children's Choirs from a few years back. But before we play that, Paul, can you remind our audience when and where the concert is?
The Ames Children's Choirs holiday concert is Sunday afternoon, December 8th at 3 p.m. at Bethesda Lutheran Church, which is located on Northwestern Avenue.
Rick, would you play the first clip of the Ames Children's Choir?
Thank you.
the Ames Children's Choirs, and this is Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg on KHOI Community Radio with Paul Hertz, my co-host. Rick, do we have a second clip of the Ames Children's Choir?
That was the concert choir of the Ames Children's Choirs singing Ring the Bells by Minnesota composer Libby Larson. Heard at the very beginning there, a very short clip, was Hannah Wrote Hallelujah by Baruch Cohen, a Hanukkah song, and it was followed by Winter Song by Midwestern, actually Minnesota, composer Stephen Paulus. And this is Local Talk on KHOI. I am Paul Hertz, and I am co-hosting for the very first time here on Local Talk, and I'm joined by a veteran host, Ursula Rudenberg.
That's right. So we've been listening to the Ames Children's Choirs, which actually is comprised of three choirs, the prep choir for younger kids, the chorale, and then the concert choir.
All three of those choirs are singing this Sunday afternoon at Bethesda Lutheran Church.
Okay, I think we've got one concert covered. On to our next
agenda. Well, the next item is the Central Iowa Symphony. They have a holiday concert this Saturday evening at 7:30 in the Ames City Auditorium. The first half of the concert is designed to be kid-friendly, which is maybe not something you associate with an orchestra concert.
Our reporter Greta Anderson caught up with the symphony director Eric McIntyre before one of their rehearsals and talked to him about what they were preparing for the show. Let's listen to that.
This is Greta Anderson from Local Talk, and I'm here with Eric McIntyre, director of the Central Iowa Symphony. You've got a show coming up, right?
Yes, on December 7th. It's a wonderful program that I look at as two programs in one. I call it that because the first half is traditional holiday fare aimed at families and really anybody who's looking for a good holiday experience. And the second half is Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 1, which he calls the Winter Dreams Symphony. So you've got serious symphonic music and holiday pops music on one program.
And you mentioned you had a narrator for one of the pieces. Can you explain?
Yes, we have an arrangement of Clement Moore's 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and it's arranged for orchestra and narrator by Bill Holcomb, who a very versatile arranger. Loads of fun, lots of musical jokes along with the text, and John Burnett Larkins is going to be narrating the poem with the orchestra.
And Tchaikovsky, he's the one who wrote The Nutcracker, right?
Yes. And so we are working it in without doing the Nutcracker, although in the arrangement of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, there's a few references to the Nutcracker along the way.
How long have you been preparing for this?
We started shortly after our last concert, which was in mid-October, so we really started at the end of October. So it's a total of about 6 weeks of preparation.
And we're here right now in the City Auditorium where you're rehearsing. That's where the concert will take place.
Yes.
And at what time?
The concert is at 7:30 on December 7th, Saturday evening.
Any other stories that you have to share about getting ready for this concert or the numbers that you'll be performing?
Well, it really is. It's a lot of fun to put together a program that has such diversity. And the idea I have is that some people with small children may not be able to sit through a full symphonic concert, but the audience and the orchestra definitely enjoy getting to do some serious symphonic fare at this time of year as well. So I've set it up in such a way that the first half is a shorter program that has this arrangement of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." It has some Christmas medleys. It's got some Leroy Anderson music. You know, a lot of just really light, wonderful holiday fare. And then for those who are looking for the full symphonic experience, the Tchaikovsky First Symphony is one that you don't hear that much, but it's just every bit as glorious as any other Tchaikovsky symphony. And that is a full, you know, romantic masterpiece that fills out the whole second half of the program.
How many people are in this?
I would say somewhere in the 60s as far as number of players in the orchestra.
Are they all volunteers?
Well, it's a community orchestra, and we're really very fortunate in this community that we have so many fine musicians who are teachers and perform professionally, and people who do double duty as professors and performers, and then people who are true amateurs who never make money as musicians, but they play, as the word amateur suggests, for the love of it. And so that kind of combination is really at the heart of what a community orchestra is.
What instrument are we hearing right now?
There's an oboe in the background right now.
And, that's what I thought.
And some bass also.
Oh, well, this is a beautiful setting. We're lucky here in Ames also because of this wonderful venue.
Yes, it's a wonderful to play in this hall, and being able to rehearse in the hall where you perform, a lot of community orchestras don't get to do that, so it's nice that every week we're in the same space.
Okay, well, I'll let you get back to your work, and thank you very much. Sounds like a fun concert.
And thank you very much. I hope to see everyone there at the concert on December 7th.
Well, that was Eric McIntyre, the director of the Central Iowa Symphony. He was interviewed there by KHY's Greta Anderson. Eric is also the professor at Grinnell, the director of the Grinnell Symphony, Grinnell College, and he commutes into Ames to lead rehearsals. That interview was done, as you heard in the background, at the Central Iowa Symphony rehearsal while they were warming up.
Paul, the Central Iowa Symphony is a unique organization. It's an all-volunteer orchestra, and it is comprised of members of Central Iowa from many, many different communities. And they get together, and they do four major concerts during the year. The Central Iowa Symphony is a partner with KHOI. We record their concerts, and so we've really enjoyed working very closely with them. We have a short interview with Sam Wormley, who is chair of the board of directors of the Central Iowa Symphony. KHOI reporter Kay Puttock asked him a few questions about the symphony and what they do. Let's take a listen.
President of the Board of Directors, Sam Wormley, tell us about the symphony and what it does.
The Central Iowa Symphony is 25 years old. It got started at the Octagon. And we are a community orchestra. And that means the orchestra members are volunteers. And we serve the Central Iowa area, Ames, Story County, and even beyond. We have players that come in from Webster City and Marshalltown, Norwalk, Iowa, south of Des Moines, and it's truly a group. I would actually like to read the mission statement of the symphony because
I think
it says it very concisely. And it says, "The Central Iowa Symphony is a community orchestra, united by the love of music and dedication to the art of orchestral performance, whose collective goal is to foster quality performance, offer satisfying musical experiences, and nurture educational and cultural growth in Central Iowa." And I do believe that we fulfill that mission. There are probably as many as 70 members in a full orchestral piece, and of course some pieces use many fewer. And our home base is the City Auditorium of Ames. All the rehearsals and the performances are there. We have seating capacity for more than 800 people. We offer 4 concerts per year.
And would you like to talk about your upcoming schedule?
What we try to do with these winter concerts is to complement the other kinds of Christmas music that people are hearing. And it's fun and it's meaningful. It shows you some of the other kinds of music other than what you would hear.
It sounds very, it covers a wide range of things.
Right. In the spring, in March, early March, we hold auditions for young artists ages up through 18 years old and provide that competition on an annual basis. And then the winners of that competition form the core of that spring concert in March. So we have amazingly capable young artists who just blow you away with their skill, whether it be with a stringed instrument or horn or piano or vocal. It's just a wonderful experience, and it offers them a venue to perform in front of an audience with an orchestra, and this is just one of the highlights of the year. And we also offer a Pops concert in the summertime at Banshell Park, and our concert always follows that 8 weeks of municipal band concerts, so people get the extra week with the orchestral Pops concert. And then we move on and think about the next season, and it's just very exciting. We put a quarterly newsletter together. People can read that newsletter by going to www.cisymphony.org.
Okay.
Yeah, that's our homepage, and we have the whole concert series listed, newsletters, links to other events, just so people get a real flavor for what the Central Iowa Symphony is all about. They can even purchase tickets online. And, of course, tickets are always available at the box office for every concert.
You are a nonprofit, right?
We are a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. And literally half of the $40,000 to $45,000 that we raise each year comes from donations from people who love music in this area. We couldn't function without them.
The rest comes from ticket sales?
About a quarter from ticket sales and about a quarter from grants. We receive a grant from COTA, and we also request smaller grants from other organizations. You just can't run an orchestra on grants alone. Yeah.
And how did you first get attracted or involved in the symphony?
As a child, I got introduced to classical music, and I've always loved it. I performed vocally at Iowa State University when I was a student and met Sylvia McCormick there, who was one of the founders of the Central Iowa Symphony. She asked me to be on the board of directors well more than a decade ago, and I served for 4 or 5 years during that time. And I came back as things were changing, and the other board members saw fit to make me their leader, at least currently.
Well, I know from other experience that you're a very good chair of committees.
It's a real pleasure for me to be a part of such a rich musical offering to our community.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for coming today to talk to us.
Well, thank you, Kay. Thanks for having me.
They're very much like KHOI. They're volunteers who come together out of the love of a cultural organization.
In fact, the first half of the program will be comprised of shorter works, more holiday pops concerts, and then we'll be having one major work by Tchaikovsky during the second half. And this is what I mentioned earlier about it being a kid-friendly program, that Eric has young children himself, and he got the idea to make it a kid-friendly program because when he realized that his kids wouldn't be able to sit through the whole program.
The program is on Saturday evening, December 7th, at 7:30 in the Ames City Auditorium.
Yes, we certainly have a lot of opportunities to hear and perform music in Ames.
Speaking of holiday performances, there is also the Ames High Madrigal Dinner.
Yes.
So we actually have a clip of last year's Madrigal Dinner.
It's actually from 2 years ago.
Okay, let's listen to that.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host today with Paul Hertz. And we're talking about the holiday music that is beginning to be offered in the Central Iowa area now that it's December. And that was a recording of the Ames High School Madrigal Dinner. And the dinner part of the Ames High School Madrigal Dinner explains why you heard silverware and plates in the background of the clip that you just heard.
Yes, that was a clip from 2 years ago. This year, the annual dinner will be held this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which would be December 5th, 6th, and 7th. This Madrigal Dinner has been around for quite some time. It's now in its 25th year.
So I guess you could say it's quite a tradition.
Yes.
And as I understand it, this dinner theater is held in the spirit of the Middle Ages. There are costumes with a medieval king and queen in their court.
Yes, madrigals don't quite date back to the Middle Ages. They're actually more a Renaissance genre of music. But the madrigal singing these days refers to really a wide variety of a cappella singing, just singing without instruments. The court, or rather the choir, at the Madrigal Dinner is set up just at the front of the church, Northminster Presbyterian Church, which is right next to the high school on 20th Street. They can take out all the chairs in the sanctuary and turn it into a banquet hall for the Madrigal Dinner. So they will be singing madrigals from the Renaissance, but they will also be singing much newer music, like Silent Night, which only dates from the 19th century. I'm actually the organist at Northminster. I've encountered the rehearsals there numerous times when I'm practicing right up until they rehearse.
That's the church located just east of the high school on 20th Street, right?
Yes, 1416 20th, I believe. I mentioned the sanctuary doesn't have regular pews. They can take all of the chairs out. And for that matter, the sanctuary has a non-traditional aspect in that it also has windows, which for the Madrigal Dinner, they black out all of the windows. They black out the exterior windows and the windows into the entryway. The entryway, by the way, is where some of the madrigal instrumentalists will be performing songs. They don't just have singers, but they have groups of Ames High Band members performing introductory music.
This is really an event pretty much run by the high school students.
Yes, they do cater the food, but the students serve and sing and
clean up afterwards?
Yes. Yes, we at the church are very appreciative of that.
Well, so let's listen to a little bit more of the Ames High School singers performing Carol of the Bells. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And we just had a guest arrive. That's where you hear chatter in the background. And he's from the Good Company Women's Ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is Steve
Hoyfeld.
Yes. I'm sorry, Steve Hoyfeld. And you are the founding director of Good Company Ensemble. Welcome.
That's right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us the actual full correct name of the group?
Good Company, a Women's Choral Ensemble. So, and we've been around for 20 years. We celebrated our 20th anniversary last spring and had actually a conductor's competition, and Paul was the winner of that competition last spring. So he got to conduct a piece on our concert.
That's wonderful. Steve, Paul, first Paul was telling me that you had a special connection to the madrigal that we were just talking about. Your son was performing in the madrigal, is that right?
Yeah, my son is playing trumpet this year as part of the brass ensemble that greets the audience as they enter the church. So, and then they'll be playing fanfares through the course of the evening.
Excellent.
We really brought here.
Is your son excited about being in the performance?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This is the first year, and it will be the only year that he'll be playing in it because he's a senior. But anyway, they just have this small group of brass players, and they've been working for the last month or so, I guess, on so brass music. So.
How often do they have to rehearse for it?
I'm not sure. like parents of a lot of high school kids, I don't really always know his schedule. But it seems that there's been at least once a week, and I think it's been more frequently the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So.
And does he say he enjoys doing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. He likes playing trumpet.
Uh-huh.
So, mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we really brought you here to discuss the Good Company Ensemble mm-hmm. and their upcoming performance this Sunday evening. Can you tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of Good Company?
We have this year about, I guess there are 21 women singing on this concert, and they come from a variety of walks of life, but they all have a lot of singing experience. Some people are music teachers. Some people just are looking for something challenging musically that will take them away from their regular daily life. And as some of them have said, it helps to kind of bring a little sanity into their lives. And even with the challenges of the music, because I think last night I said, this is one of the more challenging concerts, and one of the members said, when haven't we had one? So so anyway, they feel the challenges of the music that I've selected. And this, let's see, this group this year is doing probably one of the longer concerts, and it's all Christmas music, pretty much, and a lot of familiar texts. We meet every week. We have about 9 rehearsals that are for the full group, and then the other rehearsals are for the members to get together for sectional rehearsals so mm-hmm. that they can work on their own particular parts.
Can you give us a little bit of a background? Why does this group exist? How did it start? When did it start?
Well, I was approached at the in the fall of 1992, a long time ago. But I was approached then about the possibility of creating a women's group. One of the members of Ames Choral Society at the time had expressed an interest in that and wondered if I might be willing to direct a group like that. And she brought music that they had done in a group that she had sung with before. And I looked it over, and we had a meeting, invited some women who we thought would be interested in singing in a group like this. And they decided that we could give it a try, and we actually performed for the first time in the spring of 1993 on the Ames Choral Society's spring concert, because a number of the women already sang in Ames Choral Society. So, mm-hmm.
So why start a new group?
Well, there's a lot of treble choir literature out there, and I've never really thought about this. I was kind of surprised to find out that a lot of times women's choirs or even treble choirs in high school are sort of the leftover girls. It's the ones who can't get into the mixed ensemble. But a women's choir is really just something that's different. You do different repertoire. A lot of the treble choir repertoire is really written for children's voices and young women's voices, but there's a lot of other literature out there for adult women, and there are more and more women's groups that are forming. Back in the 19th century, there were a lot of women who started getting together to sing, and in fact, Johannes Brahms wrote a lot of his women's choir music for groups that he was directing. So there was a need for and an interest in women's choir music at that time. So
for those of us who are not musicians, what exactly is a treble choir?
A treble choir is generally...
Not a troubled choir.
Not a troubled choir, but they are sometimes, you know, troublemakers. and then there are groups that are the treble makers. A treble choir is generally women's or unchanged children's voices. There are women's choirs that perform barbershop music, Sweet Adeline's groups. There are other kinds of women's choirs that join together for either social causes or gender issues. And ours is one of the few women's choirs in Iowa that actually is not affiliated with a college, university, or other kind of institution. We're not affiliated with a church or anything like that. And we're an independent women's choir, and we exist to present music that is written for these upper voice choirs, repertoire that's written for upper voiced choirs. So there are no men that are part of the group. Although these days in some of the high school groups, the treble choir, and this is why they're calling them treble and bass choirs, because they've started to incorporate unchanged high school boys' voices into some of the treble choir ensembles. Mm-hmm. And so treble choirs in elementary school are made up of boys and girls. Until the boys' voices start to change, they are usually eligible to perform. This is true, I think, of the Ames Children's Choir still. Yeah.
Yes. As I was saying earlier in this program, I was a member of the Ames Children's Choirs, and that's the reason I stopped being a member. But, we'll have two opportunities this Sunday to hear treble choirs, the Ames Children's Choirs and Good Company. When is Good Company performing, Steve?
We are performing on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. The concert includes music by Benjamin Britten. It's his centennial this year, and we're doing a ceremony of carols with harp. It'll be, I think, it's a nice venue for music. We're doing a lot of a cappella music, and because of the acoustics in St. Andrews, it's really a wonderful place to perform a cappella music, unaccompanied music. So, but it's also nice having the harp in there. Our pianist and our harpist, Kristen Moss, is the harpist, and Barbara Evenson is our pianist. But they'll be playing some harp duets as a part of the program. And then there are some other things that we'll be doing, too.
So going back just briefly to the treble choir question for us non-musicians, most of us know the word soprano in relation to high voices. Can you... explain the relationship between treble and soprano?
Well, sopranos and altos make up the treble choirs. So, and we do some music that has more than, we do a lot of music that has more than two parts. So there will be soprano and alto music. The altos are the lower voiced women. Although the alto parts in some of our music goes pretty high. We have some pieces that are for two-part soprano and alto, so they're for three women's sections or four-part. And we even have one piece that's splitting everybody out to their own note a couple of times. So we have 21 notes in some of our chords.
So treble is a word that describes just the upper levels of the higher registers of singing.
Yes.
Which includes alto and soprano.
Right, yeah. So if you're looking at instruments, things like trumpets and flutes and clarinets would be treble instruments, and things like trombones and tubas and bass clarinets would be bass instruments.
And you said some of the singing is a cappella, meaning that it's only voices, there's no instruments.
Right, that's right, yep.
Okay, let's listen to an example of some singing from the Good Company.
Thank you. too sharp. Just the boom, boom, here we go, and
boom.
Yeah, and second soprano. Okay, so your last vocal, here's a C sharp, E, C and H, and hold the last chord. Let's see the interplay. They know it's kind of a random thing sometimes. These parallel octaves. Yeah. Everybody just has to sing an octave. Just is a four-letter word. But there's no contrary motion. There's nothing to help anchor that drop. And it's like, the trap door opens up and it's
like, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And today we are speaking with Steve Hoyfeldt, who is with the Good Company Women's Ensemble Choir. And we're talking in general about Christmas music and all of the various types of music that begin to be offered in our area in this holiday time. And Steve, we were just listening to what sounds like was a rehearsal.
Yep, it was a part of a rehearsal, yeah. So I don't know what inanities I was saying in there, but anyhow.
Have a good time. So basically you're one guy directing a bunch of women.
Yeah.
What's that like for you?
Well, I mostly don't think about it, but sometimes I think, well, I wonder what I can actually say up here that will not be too weird for PC purposes, you know. But anyway, it's
what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you have to keep your comments correct about men's and women's relationships and things like that. But we do have a good time. And
are you corrected if you don't?
Sometimes I am. Yeah. So
well, in fact, I believe your wife is a member of the
company. Oh, she is. That's right. Yep, that's right. Yep. So, yep. Sometimes I hear about things afterwards but anyway, nothing really, you know, we're all polite with each other. So I think that's why I've been doing it for this long, because I think the women enjoy working with me and I enjoy working with them. So, and it is really fun to work with an auditioned group like this.
What do you enjoy about it?
Well, I like being able to seek out music that people probably have not gotten to hear before. We have commissioned some pieces. There's a Minnesota composer named Joshua Shank, who wrote a piece about 10 years ago. He selected poems that had been written by a 5-year-old girl. She was between 5 and 8 years old when she wrote some poems. And so we had a chance to perform some brand new music that way. And last spring, we commissioned two jazz composers to write works, Michelle Ware and Phil Mattson. And Phil has an Iowa connection. He taught at Southwestern Community College. So anyway, we've had an opportunity to do quite a bit of different music. That's one of the things I really like about this. There are some pieces that initially people think, are you kidding? We're really going to do this piece? Because it is a musical challenge, both for range and for, I guess, for the style of music. But I think for the most part, we've successfully done the music. We generally have around 20 to 25 women in the group, but we have had one of the concerts. We ended up with 9 singers on the concert. We had started out with 16 or 18,
wow.
And through the semester, people became ill or something else prevented them from being on the concert. In fact, the day of the concert, one of the women who was singing with us was changing her daughter's diaper and threw her back out. and her parents were already, they were already at the church from out of town. And we got the word about that, and they had to leave and meet her at the emergency room. So not a funny thing, but it did bring about the concert's title for the next spring, which was And Then There Were None, and that was N-U-N. So we did music from Sound of Music and Dialogues of the Carmelites by Francis Poulenc, which is about a group of Carmelite nuns, kind of a tragic story, and then music from Nonsense. So
you guys have fun.
I like to think that we do. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I have sung in groups where the director is, you know, really, oh, I don't know, I guess, don't want to just say mean, but they just seem to be...
intense?
Yeah, and negative. And I try to stay positive about what we're doing, and I always have found it to be more enjoyable and productive if people are having a good time singing. And it putting it that way may make it seem like it's just kind of casual and anything is okay, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows. And the people who sing in this group especially really try to achieve what I suggest. So when we change our sound or pronunciation or whatever, they're aware of the fact that it really makes a big difference if they don't just sing at the same time, but they really sing together.
Paul, you were the composer last year.
He's a conductor.
Conductor.
Yes. Conductor.
Conductor. What was the experience like for you?
Well, it was a lot of fun. The guest conductor idea was really a fundraiser for Good Company. They recruited three people. One of them was me to try to compete and raise the most money for Good Company, and then the winner got to conduct a piece on the concert. Now the other competitors were not trained. Well, they certainly had musical background, but I would say they did not have as much musical training as I had. I won, and I could have conducted the conducting, as it were, in a very serious manner, but I figured because it was this guest conductor thing, and they weren't expecting to follow the conductor anyway, to worry about that aspect. Figured I'd just have a lot of fun. Did the dress rehearsal very seriously, and then I brought some extra props for the concert.
Yeah, the piece was I've Got the World on a String. So
so I believe I ended up conducting with a yo-yo for a bit.
Yeah.
I've known Steve actually for a few years now. I sing in another one of his groups, the Ames Choral Society, which will be performing in a week. But Ames, I feel, really has a lot of community choirs.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got Ames Choral Society, Ames Chamber Artists, and Good Company for adults. And then, of course, there are lots of church choirs that exist. The Good Neighbor Emergency Assistance Program has an annual fundraising event, and a lot of these community and church choirs get together in November for that event. So there are lots of singing opportunities for people in Ames. They just have to take advantage of them.
So let me throw a big picture question at both of you musicians, since I have you here. What do you think it does to a community to have so many choral groups, so many musical groups? How does it affect our community?
One thing that I've noticed in the Ames Choral Society is we really have a broad mix of ages and musical backgrounds. The Choral Society is a non-auditioned ensemble. Mm-hmm. And you might get that in a large church choir, mm-hmm. but then you also have a broader mix of backgrounds in the community choir. You have people from church choirs, people who aren't going to church, people who have been there since the very beginning. It provides fun, relaxed, well, relatively relaxed venue for people to interact with each other. They're just coming together for singing. It doesn't matter what else you're doing in the community. I think also...
It's like shared ground.
It is, yeah.
Common ground, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, we have high school kids, and our oldest member is almost 90, so he'll be turning 90 next May, I think. And so it's, yeah, as Paul said, it's a range of backgrounds, musical backgrounds, range of ages. And one of the things about these different choirs in Ames is that they're not... I know some communities, it's like, well, we're going to do this. There are these competing choirs as far as the members members. And in Ames, the different adult choirs fulfill a different function. So Ames Chamber Artists is an auditioned group, and I mean, the final purpose, the final goal is not really any different. The goal is to make to sing music as beautifully as possible, as expressively as possible with all of these groups. And so all the groups, I believe, work really hard to achieve that within the time frames that they have. So Ames Choral Society is sort of the secular version of what I think of as a typical church choir, except it's a lot bigger than a lot of typical church choirs. You know,
and how big is it this year?
Well, we've got over 50 people singing this time around,
wow.
So between 50 and 60. So it's a nice size of group, and we're doing a variety of music, some simple and some challenging. This is one of the things that I tend to try to program. I want things that are accessible to people as well as something that's going to make them better musicians. So, you know, mm-hmm. you don't get better if you just do stuff that's already easy for you to do. So some of the music is a little daunting sometimes for mm-hmm. people initially.
Well,
but we've done stuff with orchestra and a cappella music, so...
Well, we're very lucky to have so much music in our community.
I think so, yeah.
I'm sorry to say, but we are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hear there's something you like to say when you're running behind, something like time flies like an arrow.
Yeah, time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like bananas. So I think it's a Marx Brothers thing. Anyway, I first encountered it as a return address from my brother. So,
well, thank you for coming in. And you've been very good company. And the Good Company Ensemble concert is on Sunday, December 8th at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick, instead of using the Local Talk outro music, can we get another piece from the Good Company Ensemble? That's it for our show today. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg, and I've been very fortunate today to have Paul Hertz to be my co-host. And we've talked to Steve Hoyfeld from Good Company Ensemble and Eric McIntyre from the Central Iowa Symphony. We had a recording of him speaking. Our show was produced by Greta Anderson and was engineered by Richard Morrison in the front window of the Ames Pantorium at 410 Douglas Avenue. And we would like to extend an invitation to anybody who would like to come and watch the show, either from the sidewalk outside or inside. We have coffee here and a comfortable couch, and anybody who ever is interested in watching the show or even having something to say, please come on down at 7 o'clock, and you're most welcome. The door is open. Our theme song is usually Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD of The Ballad of Kay Challey, and today we're going out with music from the Good Company Ensemble.
Local Talk is a production training workshop as well as a news show. If you'd like to join the news team, you can contact the station at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. This was my first time hosting Local Talk, and it was a lot of fun.
And please come back, Paul.
Well, we've got a lot more December concerts, so I believe we may just have a show next week on more.
Excellent. Well, in fact, Paul did help us set the agenda for today's show, and you can help set the agenda for KHOI, your local radio station. Join us, make your voice heard, and tell us what is important to you. And you can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. We will post links to the websites of the concert groups we spoke about today so you can find out more about the performances. Your participation as the audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting KHOI. And see you again on the radio.